I'm supposed to know how to avoid fighting and to stay invisible. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, in honor of International Ninja Day, I am here to review Ninja Vengeance, a movie about a ninja going up against the Ku Klux Klan. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And you heard me correct there, folks. This is a movie about a ninja versus the Klan. We here at Kung Fu Pizza Party are pro beating up the Klan, whether it's Superman or the Fighting Irish from a couple decades ago when the Klan was trying to move into South Bend and they beat them all up and tossed them out of town. Go Irish. We are pro beating up the Klan and anti KKK around here. So naturally, if I'm going to have to sit down to watch a cheesy ninja flick, I might as well watch the one about a ninja going toe-to-toe with the Klan. It's the world's greatest elevator pitch, is it not? You are so much more interested in this movie now that you know it's about a ninja going against the Klan. And the plot itself is actually pretty good. A loner riding a motorcycle, rolls into a small Texas town. At the motel he's staying at, he decides to go out for a jog one evening when, he stumbles upon a group of Klansmen beating up an African-American man. This individual, though, this loner, he's not just a loner on a motorcycle. No, he's a ninja. So he goes to intervene, but unfortunately it's too late. They have beaten this man to death. And now the Klan is after him and the love interest of the film to silence them. That is Ninja Vengeance. Again, it's just like the right amount of cheesiness, is it not? Like that is very enticing. Unfortunately, this movie was bad. This is not a very good movie. And whenever I sit down to review one of these not so good movies that I cover here on the show, I actually like going to sites like Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb to read reviews. I like to see what average people are saying about these movies, kind of to help me like gauge my own, like what I'm seeing of like, okay, am I being nitpicky here or is this really that bad? Or, oh, I kind of like that part. You know, it's a little bit of a guide to see like how far off base I am. And this movie, well, let's start with this. We'll address some of the complaints to get going here. If you're expecting an Academy Award nomination acting performance in this movie, please go watch something else. I said this in my review of Silent Rage back in October that, look, if you're sitting down to watch a martial art movie of any kind, don't expect the best acting, okay? Just don't. Obviously, there are exceptions, you know. If you are the kind of film bro that like you can only watch high caliber Oscar worthy films, then go check out any of the more artistic Jet Li films. Go watch Hero. Like, good story, good acting, good fight choreography. Like, it's good. Like, if that is your cup of tea, then just watch the highbrow stuff. But if you're sitting down to watch, oh, I don't know, a ninja movie from 1993, a low-budget ninja film from 1993, to be precise, then yeah, I think it is truly unfair to hold the acting against the movie. It's not good, but why would I expect it to be? The biggest named star in this movie is a guy whose most of his career was stunt work. And, like, no knock against him because, so he's the bad guy, like the main bad guy. Obviously, it's a whole group of bad guys in this movie because it's the Klan. They're the bad guys. But like the main bad guy of the movie is this like the biggest name dude. He's like a lifelong stunt worker, and I don't know who the ninja guy is. I tried looking him up. I can't really find anything other than Ninja Vengeance. But I will say this. If you can endure the acting, which I think you should, and you should try, the fight choreography in this movie is actually really good. It's not super flashy, but it's clean, it's crisp, it's technical. It's two stunt guys doing their job. Like, they're good. Oh, I'm assuming the one guy's the stunt guy, but it's two clearly martial artists putting on a good fight performance. Like, if we're going to talk about acting, the fight choreography is worth the watch alone. Like, it's solid combat in this movie. I don't think it's fair to hold the whole acting performance against this movie. The writing of the characters is a different story. So, obviously, there's like a whole issue within this movie of character arc and motivation. Obviously, with the Klan, the motivation is simple. They're bad guys. They're going to say the N-word and they're going to do bad things. And, you know, all in the name of God and country. What? But the heroes, especially the ninja, the love interest, and the lynched man's mother, all have these like flippity flop perspectives on everything. Great example. Here we go. So the mother says to the love interest, "I want justice for my son." And the love interest says, "Okay, let's do something about it." And the mother says, "Why? That's not going to bring him back." What do you want? Like, what do you want here? Like, it instantly flips. And that's what I mean by flippity flop. I think what they're trying to do, because she does it, the love interest does it, the ninja does it. I think basically what they're trying to do is create tension. They're trying to create, like, will the heroes prevail and do the right thing? And in the case of the ninja and the love interest, I think they're also trying to create kind of a, like, enemies to lovers, will they, won't they kind of relationship. But instead of it being like actual drama and growth for the characters, it's just like this literally within sentences of each other, just whiplash back and forth of just anything. And when it comes to the enemies to lovers part for the ninja and the love interest, it's like they're flirty, kind of, you know, rolling around a little bit, and then like some little minor thing will be said or done, and, you know, they're at each other's throat. Like, it's just, it's not well written. And I believe, if I remember correctly, the guy who directed the movie also wrote it, and it's obvious he shouldn't have been doing either. Apparently now, though, he is an editor and has worked on some very big films, especially animated films. He can't call shots or write the shots, but apparently he can edit the shots. So, yeah, I think it's not necessarily the fairest thing in the world to hold the acting against this movie, but I think it is fair to point out the fact that it's like just like unnecessary whiplash and a little bit taxing to listen to these characters constantly going back and forth about, you know, what they should do, if they have the right motivation, the whole bit. It's a little grating. Another thing that is often complained about this movie is that it's not very ninja-y. And I would say, I think, so this movie again came out in 93. So that means if you were alive and very engaged with the 1980s ninja craze, I could understand watching this movie and being very disappointed, because the ninja doesn't wear an all-black costume that you can only see his eyes. He doesn't use shuriken or nunchucks or do any death-defying jumps. I think there was one scene where he used like a smoke bomb thing to escape quickly. But outside of that, all of the like fantasy element stuff that we have associated with ninjas in pop culture is not present whatsoever. And so if that's what you are expecting, especially given like the time period this movie would have come out, I get that you would have been disappointed. But I saw a really good review on Rotten Tomatoes where somebody pointed out how what this movie focuses on is not the fantasy elements of the ninja, but instead the true philosophy of ninjutsu, of being this shadow warrior, essentially doing the right thing from behind the scenes, which technically is still a part of the fantasy pop culture understanding of how ninjas work. Ninjas, at their simplest form, were poor farmers who became mercenaries so they could feed their families. Like that's what the ninja were. And we have just like really ramped up the fantasy elements, both in pop culture and in martial art culture, let's be honest. So at the end of the day, then, what we have here is not a movie that focuses on the external elements of being a ninja, but the internal, the philosophical approach to being a ninja. And for that, I will say, well done. It's a refreshing way to do it. Again, if you're expecting a bloody good time, nope, not here. But if you're... It's a refreshing take on the genre, I guess I could say that, of this is a more philosophical approach to being a ninja. That being said, that does mean that the ninja and his master, who shows up frequently in flashbacks, they fulfill that martial art movie trope of basically everything they say kind of sounds like it could have been in a fortune cookie, just like everything is supposed to be like wise and profound. And again, this is kind of like another like grating moment in the film. There is, maybe I'm giving them too much credit for this, but it kind of is a juxtaposition of the master versus the ninja student with this, though, because basically part of the plot is that the ninja has finished his training and now he's out to go apply what he has learned to in the real world. And what we see frequently in the film is that he keeps trying to essentially give like the textbook answer, like what the answer should be to any given situation, where in reality, that's not how knowledge works. That's not how you apply information. Life is unpredictable, even if you are prepared. You know, that's the great tragedy of learning a kata. Like, katas are really cool, and I think they are a practical way for training, but obviously you can't just snap into a kata to defend yourself. That's unrealistic. But at the same time, the master understands this and tries to prepare the ninja student for his excursion by trying to communicate that to him. He just apparently didn't understand the assignment. It's at this point, though, that I would say if you shouldn't hold the acting against this movie. There is some pretty good fight choreography. And you really shouldn't hold the fact that it's not like a super over-the-top ninja movie. It's got a cool philosophical approach to it. But you can definitely hold the ending of this movie against this movie. I was in for the ride. As rough as it was, it's very much a material that could be used for Mystery Science Theater 3000 or Riff Tracks or any of their programs. That's what this movie is. But I got to the ending and I was like, oh, man. So essentially, the daughter... Excuse me, you don't know who the daughter is. The love interest. Her dad is a Klansman. But eventually, he gets to the point where he realizes, oh, I've messed up. And he calls his buddy at the FBI, because we all have a friend who's part of the feds, to turn himself in and to out everybody else, get everyone else arrested as well. While that is going on, the clan and the rest of the family of the man who was murdered are in a field ready for a shootout. But first, the ninja and the main bad guy, who is the deputy sheriff clansman of this town, are going to have one more final fight. And there is a burning cross in the background. It's very visceral. So they're going back and forth. And anytime these two clash, no one really ever gets the upper hand. He's a well-trained ninja, and the clansman deputy is a like a former Marine, I think they say. So they're going back and forth, going back and forth. The deputy finally starts to get the upper hand when the love interest pulls out a gun and shoots him dead. Then the feds show up. They start arresting everybody. The dad and the daughter quickly reconcile, even though she has hated him the entire movie. And the movie fades to black with the ninja and the love interest holding each other and the burning cross slowly going out. That sucks. And here's why. Here's why it sucks. It is a terrible closing character arc for the ninja. For some reason, the only person who experiences any growth in this movie is the dad, who's a clansman. He kind of has a change of heart and is able to reconcile. Everyone else can apparently suck it, I guess, especially the ninja. He is slated for a rise, fall, return story arc. He starts off as this loner who totally knows what he's doing, but uh-oh, actually he doesn't know what he's doing. And not only does he not know what he's doing, every time he gets hit hard, rather than grunting or, you know, getting, you know, grunting or moaning or whatever, he goes, seriously, that is the noise. Anytime he gets hit hard. So not only does he have this rise, fall, he's supposed to have then a return, a moment where he is like kind of finally figures it out and redeems himself and saves the day. He doesn't get that. Let's face it, this is a darker ending, but this is a better ending. Instead of the love interest shooting the Klansman, the ninja tackles the Klansman into the burning cross. It falls down on top of both of them, killing them. Then the feds show up and arrest everybody. That is a better ending, though it is darker, because now the ninja has gotten a redemption. He has sacrificed himself to save everybody else, or at least to stop this Klansman while the feds come in to clean up the rest of that group. In the meantime, the love interest, by the end of the movie, could be standing there by herself watching the flames go out after experiencing her friend being murdered, her dad being a Klansman and getting arrested, her boyfriend, the deputy, being a Klansman and getting killed, and her new ninja boyfriend being killed. And yes, that is an incredibly dark way to end the movie versus this weird quasi and they kind of live happily ever after, question mark. But the thing that keeps coming up in this movie, this is like a constant conversation bit, is that fear leads to anger. Anger leads to violence. Violence leads to more violence, and innocent people get hurt. If you make that change, where then the ninja gets a redemption, then you can still have this fear to anger to violence to more violence to innocence loss. Because the girl experience, the love interest experiences the innocence loss part. Or, here's a novel idea for an alternate ending. Don't make this a ninja movie. Instead, lean into a little bit more of a horror approach. And this is a movie about a small town girl living in a lonely world who just wants to go to college. Basically, she's Luke Skywalker in A New Hope is kind of where she's at. She wants to go off to college, start her own life, but her friend is brutally murdered, and she discovers that there is a group of Klansmen in her community, and they find out that she knows, and now they're hunting her down. And the movie then ends more in a fine with her basically becoming like a final girl versus getting one good shot off to kind of save the day. At the end of the day, though, I don't think the ending of this movie is good. I was kind of in for the ride, and then I got to the ending and I was like, yo, I'm going to have to knock this down a star now on my review on Letterboxd, which you can follow on. You can follow the show at Kung Fu Pizza Party. Excuse me, Kung Fu Pizza, P-R-T-Y. Forgot how things work for a second. Anyway, so I think that would actually be a better ending and versus what we did get of fear leads to anger, which leads to violence, which leads to more violence, which leads to loss of innocence. But don't worry, the feds are here. The feds are the good guys. Since when do the feds arrive on time in a movie? Since when are they the ones who are here to restore peace and justice? There's literally a ninja right there. It's frustrating, and I got to watch my time. I think I'm almost done. So, at the end of the day, would I watch Ninja Vengeance again? I think so, honestly. Again, it's very riffable. I guess at some point, maybe I should try doing like a MST3K style thing, and like I'll watch a movie, but I'll live stream me on the YouTube channel, Studio 219, where so that way you can like listen to me riff the movie and we could like all watch it together or something. So yeah, I think I would watch it again. I would definitely not buy a physical media copy. I do not need this movie on Blu-ray. I don't know anybody who needs this movie on Blu-ray. Please don't buy this movie. I watched it for free on Tubi. I would say the only exception would be if I stumbled upon it in the wild, like a VHS copy at a thrift store or an antique store, and it was like a quarter or whatever, then yeah, maybe, just to have like a novelty thing that I could display with my other crap. I should be the guy who collects horror and martial art movie VHS tapes. Like I definitely should be that guy, but I don't need to be collecting yet another thing, or at least that's what I keep telling myself to put off the inevitable. Real quick though, I want to share with you three unhinged scenes in this movie that I think make it even more worth your time to go check it out, even if the ending is truly bad. The first one is this scene where it's the first time it's the deputy sheriff Klansman and the ninja fighting each other. So they're fighting each other. In the meantime, the sheriff, who is the deputy's dad, and another law enforcement officer are both standing there. They're both Klansmen, and basically this entire fight, they're, yeah, get him, boy, yeah, get him, get him. Then the love interest is off to the side yelling, no, don't fight, violence only leads to more violence. Then her dad, the Klansman, shows up, and he's, come on, girl, we got to get out of here, this is no place for you. Then canine unit dogs come running out of nowhere to chase the girl away. Then the deputy's gun goes off, shooting the sheriff and killing him. And if you're sitting there listening to all of this and thinking to yourself, boy, that sounds like a cluster. Oh, it was. It was sensory overload there for a moment. I was feeling claustrophobic watching that scene. Unhinged scene two happens just a couple minutes later. The deputy Klansman shows up at a gathering of Klansmen. It seems like they're at a Christian Identity Service, which is like the white supremacist take on the Bible. And he's there giving this, you know, my father's been killed, and then all of the white supremacist rhetoric for God and country, Bible and guns, the whole bit. And, you know, they start chanting white power, Klan power, the whole bit. But he says during this rousing speech to fuel all the racists, he says, "We have once again been forced by force to use force. We have once again been forced by force to use force." I was very tempted to use that line to open the show, but it felt icky using the line of a Klansman. That is crap, but I guarantee whoever wrote that line thought they were a freaking genius, man. Like, they thought they had gold with that line. I've preached enough over the past 10 years and studied the art of preaching enough for the past 15 years to know that somebody thought they had some really moneymaker line right there, and it is not. Finally, the last unhinged scene in this movie. Near the end, the ninja gets injured. He's got like this big injury to his back, blood everywhere, and the love interest, she's, you know, bandaging him up and cleaning him up and the whole bit. And that's when they finally, you know, they embrace, and she whips off her top and he lays down on the ground and she gets on top of him. And it's like, seriously, nobody thought about that? He was just wincing in pain from this giant injury 2 seconds ago, and now she wants to take a ride on his katana and everything's fine. Here's a novel idea. Get rid of the whole scene. We just need a steamy kiss to communicate the fact that they're into each other now. But I have to wrap up this review. So once again, happy International Ninja Day to you all. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please pass it along to a friend. Rate and review the show on whatever platform that you listen to us on. And check out the other great shows here on the Amazon Ministries Podcast Network. Follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party. And that's it. Thank you for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less, served up some wisdom one slice at a time, and one more time for the people in the back.